Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport, the home of cycling in association with LACA. I'm Graham Wilgos, and Brad, stage 14 of the Tour de France today. We're in the pub to chew it over.
Yeah, today was another big day like yesterday, really. It was probably the day that did the Tour de France justice. It was on from the start. Many different races going on within that race today. But in particular, Sagan and his kind of... really putting his teammates through the paces, really. Almost like, I always consider him like sitting at the back of a chariot, whipping his horses, you know. And I just, on that first climb, you know, they clearly wanted to drop Sam Bennett with the points for the intermediate sprint, 10K after that, or 6 kilometres after that. And Shackman, you know, clearly had sore legs from yesterday, from his efforts, having to, you know, ride for probably the best cyclist on his day in the world.
Well, Sagan and Bora went for it from the beginning, didn't they? And they were looking to get as many points back for the fight for the green jersey as they possibly could.
And he probably accomplished that today, but I would say at the expense of a lot of pennies spent by his own team. And I don't know how much more he can keep driving them to that degree. But it certainly worked today, and it was mission accomplished. But I would say that Sam probably had the easiest day of them all, because they rode the second half of the race pretty much easy, you know?
Well, when he realised he couldn't get back on, you sort of saw his team, his Deceuninck Quickstep teammate, sort of giving him a pat and saying, all right, mate, you did your best to try and close that gap, which was at that point just over 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they rolled in, saved themselves for the next battle.
Yeah, but it shows you how much Sagan is fearful of Sam in terms of his sprint in a straight line.
But
as we've said a lot in the post show the last few days, Sagan is going to get, I said the other day, he's not going to go down, lying down for this now. And he's going to come back fighting since his relegation. And he's certainly done that. I mean, today he was over everything, including on that final climb, and he was still calling for team assistance, you know. But he's starting to really ignite this race now, Peter. Sam even said in his interview afterwards that he felt dead yesterday and felt a lot better today. But next week's going to just be one hell of a race for that jersey, and I think it's going to be right down to the wire in Paris, potentially.
Mm. You called how the early race would go, didn't you? Seeing Sagan ask Bora to do so much work to take him up the road and distance himself from Sam Bennett. And you said that there was almost certainly a deal. They'd done a deal.
Well, they started riding with two guys, Bora. The rest of them, including Shackman, were in the back group of Bennett. And I thought, there's no way they're going to do 120K on the front, just two of them. They would have had to have some prior knowledge that two guys are going to come up from another team and assist them. Because otherwise, most teams, including Jumbo, would have just left them on the front all day. And it would have had to be a team that had no interest in the green jersey, no interest in GC, potentially be able to form some allegiance or alliance with Bora. And that team was CCC. And when they started riding, Sagan was sat about 15 riders back with Van Avermaet and Trentin. So I thought, oh, here we go. And CCC are ending at the end of this year. Quite a few people are looking for contracts. Not suggesting for 1 minute that was the cause of them riding. But quite often, teams will do deals with each other. Look, help us out today. Give us two riders. It helps you anyway, because Greg Van Avermaet wants to go for the stage. And later on in the race, if we get the chance, we'll repay that back to you. I'm not suggesting that that's what happened, but just the simple fact that Bora could have just been left on the front all day as two riders, because no one else needed to push home that as hard as they did. So they were clearly some talking going on back behind them, and someone would have needed, there was some knowledge that someone's going to come up and help. It wasn't going to be the sprinter teams because it didn't suit them that day. Caleb Ewan was out the back again, even further. Jumbo didn't need to ride because there's no point. So once they committed, they needed something. And eventually, CCC. So I can only think that there was some deal done there.
Rob Hatch had a great stat on commentary. He said 79% of the turns were done by Bora riders today. So like you say, Sagan really was on his chariot whipping his horses.
Yeah, he commands that because, you know, the team is pretty much built around him, isn't it? And that just shows you, like, for all his kind of jovial kind of adolescence off the bike and the fun he gives us and the quotes and things, when they're in that race, he is...
It's on.
Ruthless.
Yeah. Well, they did a brilliant job for him. They delivered him close enough to the finish, but there was nothing he could do about the brakes going off the front in the final 4 or 5K. Here's how it finished on Eurosport, called for us by Rob Hatch.
And it's 450 metres now for Søren Kral to ride home and take the glory. Such a talent, the Danish star, Søren Kral Andersen. It's his third Tour de France, and he's about to take his first stage win. And joining Mark Hirschi as a winner for Team Sunweb is Søren Kral Andersen. Sunweb takes stage 14, and that is a big, big day for the German team.
So Brad, the Dane of the day, Søren Kral Andersen, Sunweb. We said yesterday that EF were quietly having a good tour, but Sunweb have almost trumped them today, given what they've done there.
Yeah.
And with Mark Hirschi as well, who's lit up the race.
Yeah, I mean, what he did today, Søren, was how every club cyclist, when they're racing back in at the end of a club run, attacking each other, messing around for signs, that's how that plays out, that you know, in terms of attack, hit some timing, hesitation behind. It was just poetic.
Yeah.
And before you knew it, he was out of sight, and we knew you had it. I mean, to win a stage like that in the Tour de France, he won with ease at the end and the gap. And, you know, the hesitation is what gave him the chance to create that gap. But it was just about race timing that when he did that. So, he didn't necessarily ride away on power where they were riding behind at full whack and he rode away from. But he put himself in a position when the race was on, all the way up that last climb, but now attacking Alaphilippe, his own teammate Hirschi, and then bang, straight over the top in classic style that your teammate gets brought back, you go. And he wasn't frightened to attack the likes of Sagan, etc. It was a class act that. And he deserved everything he got in the finish today. And what a way to win a stage in the Tour. And he thoroughly deserved it. And you can see what it meant to the team when they come across the line. That team have been, I wouldn't say they've been a revelation because they've been a big team for a few years with their Tom Dumoulin. But they have changed the way we look at the Tour de France in terms of young kids getting exactly what they deserve. Young kids feeling that they can attack the likes of Sagan and that in the final of the Tour de France and are within their rights to do so. And it was fantastic to see.
And Hirschi, I mean, you could say has buoyed them, really. He's given them that belief in that he's been off the front attacking. He's finally got his stage win. So, I mean, today, they really attacked it as a team. That final 10K, we saw Tiesch Benoot go off the front. Then we saw Hirschi go off the front. And it was Kral Andersen's attack that was the one that finally stuck. But they were the only team with people supporting each other up there. Everyone else by that stage was on their own.
And as soon as he crossed the line and was celebrating, there was three or four guys straight over to him, and you could see what it meant to the team. They almost have a telepathic way of riding that they're not out for themselves. They're out for each other. And on their day, it could be any one of them. And you could even see Hirschi's joy and Tiesch Benoot's joy when they celebrated with him afterwards. And they are a team to be admired and looked up to, really, because lots of teams in the final, there's an element of, you know, oh, I wish that was me. But them, it's just, on another day, it could be someone else.
Yeah.
And they are a team with no riders with egos. They ride for each other. And somehow, you know, that team management have recreated a new dynamic after the departure of Tom Dumoulin, which could have spelled the end for that team.
Well, they've gone from being a GC team into having to attack the tour
and
a totally
let's not forget,
way.
That team has had to go through restructuring twice because Kittel left and then Tom Dumoulin left. And they have, they're a bit like, in football terms, what Chelsea have done with the young players, just off the top of my head. And, it, you know, it's, if you have Tom Dumoulin in that team still, you sometimes build a team around Tom and miss out on guys like Hershey and Soren because they get to ride in a way like that, which is beautiful to see.
Alaphilippe attacked with just over 5 kilometres to go, ever the entertainer, presumably not happy that someone else was animating the race. He was up there on his own because, of course, his team were back in the second group working for Sam Bennett. Was that a selfish act from Alaphilippe today? You know, he's had plenty of cracks at it. And to be up there on his own as opposed to working for Bennett like the rest of his team were.
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a selfish act. I mean, that's clearly, they've got two leaders in that team. They've got Alaphilippe. Based on his performances last year, he's earned the right to race for stages. I mean, he's been saying that all along, he's racing for stage wins.
Mm.
But they clearly have an understanding that Sam Bennett, these are the support riders for Sam, and Alaphilippe is going to do his own thing. And that's the way they've took on the race. Whether that's right or wrong, who knows? They've got a stage win. They've got a stage win with Sam. But at some point, maybe that green jersey competition is going to become the priority. Who knows? But it's not selfish. It's just there's two lines of attack on that team.
Brad, hot topic. Roman Bardet, fourth on GC up until yesterday afternoon. He was a non-starter today because of what we thought yesterday was concussion when he went down hard. Today, this morning, he's gone for an MRI scan that showed he has a small hemorrhage. Subsequently, there's been an awful lot of discussion about concussion and its repercussions. Orla Shenoue caught up with EF's Jonathan Vaughters to talk about exactly that. Here she is now.
Jonathan, I want to ask you about concussion, if that's okay. It's been such a hot topic today after Roman Bardet battled through it yesterday, essentially, and wasn't able to start today. You guys have had a concussion protocol in place for a long time now. Do you think that we take the issue as seriously as we should, that teams do enough and race organisers do enough?
Well, it's a very, very tricky issue. I mean, yes, on our team, the doctors actually have precedence and power over the sports directors and over the riders to make the call on the spot that if a rider should stop, he should stop. And even I can't say no to that. So we do have that set up. We do have a protocol. That being said, it's very difficult to execute on a precise protocol like that in the environment that cycling is, because we're not an arena. We don't have timeouts. A full concussion protocol is going to take 3 to 5 minutes. If you're sitting on the ground for 3 to 5 minutes and you've already lost 2 or 3 minutes because of the crash itself, you're never going to be lucky if you even make it back to the peloton. So the issue is, can we come up with a protocol on a broader sport-wide basis that allows the doctors to really examine a rider, but to not prejudice the rider against being able to re-enter the race? And that's a very tricky thing because, I mean, in theory, you know, you can do a 5-minute concussion protocol on the ground, throw the guy in the back of the car and drive him back up to the peloton and say, okay, off you go. And in a lot of ways, I think that's actually the best idea. But certainly there is a tradition of cycling that would say, you know, if the guy fell on the ground, that's just part of the race, and that he shouldn't just be allowed to rejoin the peloton in the back of a sedan. So this is a very tricky thing that our sport actually encounters a lot more difficulties in executing on a good concussion protocol than any other sport.
So I guess I understand how people might be uncomfortable with a rider joining the race in a car. Could it be an option that a rider is given enough time and the doctor is given enough time to be able to assess any head injuries, and then the rider is allowed to be paced and motor paced back up to the race again? Would that be a better compromise?
Yeah, I mean, I would also agree with that. But there are moments in a race, you know, such as yesterday when Bardet fell, I don't think there was any level of motor pacing that was really going to get him back into the race. Because when you're dealing with very narrow roads, very mountainous roads, up, down, twisty descent, steep climbs, motor pacing is limited in its benefit. I mean, of course, on a straight and flat road, yes, motor pacing will get you back up to the peloton, and that's completely fair. But there are certainly circumstances in a race where that is not going to do that. And especially, like I said, with the amount of time that it takes to do a really correct concussion protocol, I mean, it really takes the rider very far out of the race.
Brad, stage 15 tomorrow, Lyon to Grand Colombier, another beast of a mountain to finish. 17.4 kilometers of climbing, several 12% sections within that. Are we expecting to see something from Bernal before the rest day tomorrow?
I think based on his little attack today, they're gonna try something tomorrow. I think the climbs suit Bernal more. They're going to go on the offensive. And don't forget, this team, no... they've ridden like Jumbo have ridden for many years now. And they have been wary of any attack or ploy or a tactic from other teams that they have to be wary of. They now get the chance to deploy those, their greatest fears, if you like. They know better than anyone what will ruffle Jumbo, because they're the most experienced at riding in that style. And they will try everything they need to. Like we saw with Carapaz yesterday. Yeah, I just expect all guns blazing tomorrow from Ineos.
All guns blazing. Looking forward to it. Brad, thanks as ever for your thoughts. That brings us to the end of this episode The Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Thank you to our sponsor, Laka. Thank you also to our producer, Pete Burton. Finally, from me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. Please subscribe, share your thoughts, and rate us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.